And just like that, we are back. Welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we're those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, 90 Day Fiancé, Season 9, Episode 16, Recap.
I'm proud of you, because, you know, last week you tried to take us all the way back to the beginning of the season.
Well, you keep making me jump back between all these different reality bullshit shows that I get confused. I get lost sometimes, so I'm sorry. I'm not a seasoned reality veteran like yourself.
No one can make you do anything that you don't want to do, Terrell.
No, but someone can voluntell you to do something. And sometimes you have to do what you're voluntold.
Touche. See, I'm practicing this. I'm going to have this conversation with my little girl at some point. No one can tell you what except me and your mama. Now, we going to tell you what to do.
I can't wait till she tells your wife one day, you can't tell me what to do. Dad said, no one can make me do anything.
That's when I walk in the room like, what happened over? Oh, she said that, huh? Okay. See this through the wall?
Yeah. Well, honey, bob your head. You got to stick and move. You got to stick and move. Mama has a tough right.
So much to get into. As you can tell, we're winding down this season. And it almost feels good, man. As we start off with Bilal and Shaida. And the first thing I can think of is, what the hell is wrong with this goddamn family that they feel they got to pull a joke on everybody? Why are you playing jokes on this woman?
Seriously. I'm like, what is with this playing game stuff? Just stop it. Just here's the dress. There's too much going on. That would annoy me too. But I did like, I think his daughter had a very mature outlook on the whole relationship. And he was asking, what do you think? She's like, look, it's been a little weird, but I'm starting to get used to her. But I like seeing you happy. And as long as you're happy, to me, that's all that matters. I'm like, yeah, yes, that is what kids should. I mean, that's just maturity of her. And I think that's great.
And I wish the adults would actually have some of that same maturity of that little young princess that's ready to obviously teach her parents and her auntie a few things. Because, look, think about this. Bilal played a joke, a prank on Shaida on something sentimental. Their childhood home. And then what does his sister do after hearing this whole thing? Does the exact same thing with this wedding dress that obviously had some sentimental value. She didn't say whose it was, so I'm going to let you guess. Whose dress was it?
I think it was Bilal's mom's dress.
See, I think it was a sister's dress. That dress looked like it would, and you're right, I think we can both be right here. You comment below, let us know whose dress do you think it was. Now, of course, if you cheated and Googled it and figured out who it was, because we haven't done that yet.
is the sister married?
You know what? I don't know. That's a great question.
I mean, I don't think if that she's ever not married up. Anymore and that was her dress, I'm like, well.
The sister looks like she'd wear a dress like that.
I don't think so. I think that's a super conservative, old-fashioned dress.
The sister's older, and she looks very conservative.
I don't know. I'm going to go with Bilal's mom's dress, not the sister's dress. Because if the sister's like, well, it does have sentimental value. That was my dress, bitch. She's going to be like, well, I see why y'all aren't still together. This is why I want my dress to look better than this, because I want me and Bilal to work out.
And if I'm the mom, if it's the mom's dress, I'm the mom. I'm like, look, y'all better stop playing with my goddamn feelings. First, y'all gonna have this girl talk shit about my house, now my dress.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, get over it. But it really was not a cute dress at all. And so, yeah, you know, I think I'm glad to see that they're all starting to work it out. And again, I think the producers probably made the division between those two lot bigger than what it was, and I get it. In her country, prenups is not a common thing, so I get that. The only thing that I have to defend my brother Bilal with,
oh boy,
is when Shai was trying to say that he can, you know, come across cocky and sure of himself. I'm like, he's an alpha. That's what we do. That's
yeah, y'all are assholes. Man. I know that.
That's an alpha man trait. Every alpha I know has tend to be a little bit cocky and sure of himself, but that's what makes us the great men that we are.
Every alpha I know is usually one of two traits. We won't say them on this podcast.
Well, all I'm saying is all the alphas I know and respect and the men that made me want to join this fraternity was... Mm-hmm. They seemed a bit cocky, but they were sure of themselves, just that level of confidence. So I'm like, hey, Bilal's just being who he is. And that's what made him an alpha man. And so
he's gonna come
across like that. But for the other ones to be her nieces, you know, the experience I've had with two American men, they seem to know everything. That's like me dating two women from Trinidad and saying, okay, all women from Trinidad are like this. The way she made that comment about American men.
Sounds like it struck a nerve with you, but, you know.
Hey, America first.
All right, Trump. See how that turned out. The thing about this, too, though, I thought that they gave us a lot more insight into Shahida with just one question. You know, who's the bigger diva? Which tells you, because you really haven't seen too much of a diva out of her. You saw more of it out of Bilal. And so I think that just gives us a little bit more to realize that there's a whole lot and there's a reason why these two matched and why they work well together as much as they're battling over the prenup that she doesn't read anyway. So,
well, she says she's going to read it before she signs. I like how she hasn't seen the final draft before the wedding. The wedding's tomorrow.
Yeah, he's going to bring it up. He goes, "Sir, you know how do you give a gift before the wedding?"
Yeah.
The prenup's going to be the gift.
She's going to be escorting down the aisle. Somebody's just going to walk up. Hey, just need your signature real quick.
Thank you. Shahida? Yes.
You look amazing. Served. You look amazing.
And you know what? They should play Gold Digger after. Why not? Just because. Just for shits and giggles. I love that.
That would be funny.
That's the kind of thing that you or I would do. As we move on to Ari and Benny, another couple that was they made it down the aisle in this week's episode. First thing I noticed, Benny's a jack of all trades. I mean, think about this. He's a dancer. You didn't get to see much of his dancing in this, but in the other way, he was a dancer. He's a rapper as an artist. He's an MMA fighter. As we found out this season, he's a seamstress. I guess they'll call him a tailor, my bad. And now we find out that he's a barber. As soon as he can work, he's got a plethora of jobs to choose from.
Job. There's a bunch of jobs. He can get three jobs tomorrow as soon as he gets that green card. He can cut from 8 to 12, you know, make some kid clothes from 1 to 3, get some lunch, and then go 3 to 8 MMA training, preparing for your next fight.
Exactly.
I think the dude could be solid. I thought it was nice that he asked the dad if he could marry her, but I'm like, it's a little too late.
Yeah.
You're already here. You got a baby. It's kind of like, the dad's going to be like, whether you have my blessing or not, you better marry her and take care of my grandkid.
But like, are you trying to make me say no just so you don't have to? No, you can.
Yeah, what's he
going to
say? Hey, you know, Benny, look, thanks for the taper that you gave me. I appreciate the edge up. Appreciate you giving me a grandson. I really don't want you to marry my daughter, but I mean, here we are. Camera's on us, right? What do we do? You know, so it's like, what do you expect him to really say to that?
That would have been funny, though, had he done that.
It would have been funny.
He may have thought that after he heard Benny's vows when Benny had the mic during the ceremony. Because why did they sound so freaky? She give it to me heart. She give it to me love. She give it to me so, so good. She give it to me all night long.
Yeah, the spirit of Rick James just came out into Benny. Just give it to me. Look at the suit. I mean, Benny looked like a lost temptation, didn't he? I mean, that tux color, I just picture him as one of the temptations that showed up at the wrong venue. Not with the rest of them.
And here's where I fault Ari again. If you're doing this wedding in your tradition, please let the man know what that entails. Have your dad tell him what it entails. Because he had no idea. All right, break the glass. He's like, you want me to step on it? And then he tries to pick it up. And it was like, y'all should tell the man so that he doesn't do that.
Come on. I'm not Jewish, but I've seen enough movies. I've seen enough. I know what step on the glass means. And you don't freaking pick it up. You know, you're not at work, Benny. You're not part of the help. This is your day. Break the glass.
That was very celebrate. Racist of you, sir.
Don't like break it and be like, I'm sorry, let me sweep. You, Adi, give me broom.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. We just lost all our viewer and listenership in Ethiopia.
In Ethiopia? Yeah, both of them.
All two of them.
Yeah, all two of them. Wow. Let's just shut it down, Yadi. No point moving forward.
Piss but let's see if we can Ethiopians. Do the same in Egypt, too, because I'm sure you got something to say about Eve and Muhammad.
Yeah.
Even though, I will say, when they first got on, Eve's friends, I thought, had some her friend had some very valid points, right? And it was absolutely no surprise to me that she was a runaway bride, because she just looked like she would be a runaway bride.
But if you ran away, it's better for you to run away than to get married, go through the whole mm-hmm. thing, and make it work. So even if at the last minute you realize, you know what, this is not right. Great. I think her friends are right to be concerned, and they have yes. some valid points that mm-hmm. Eve is not thinking about, in my opinion. And I just feel like Eve is just naive. She's just going off love. This is my soulmate. This is why I agree with arranged marriages. And like when you hear the process, understand the process, it makes sense because it's not all about feeling. What Eve is doing is just straight feels. A lot of this makes no sense. 24-year age difference. A lot of this makes no sense.
So, would you let your mom put you in an arranged marriage with someone?
Well, A, you got to understand how arranged marriages work. This isn't the 1900 arranged marriages. Arranged marriages that happen today, the parents go onto a website and they pick the person. And then the parents meet each other first. And then they meet the kids. Then they invite the kids to be able to meet. They can hang out. And the kids could be like, no, not feeling it. Or they'd be like, you know what? I'm good with this. And then they go ahead and plan the whole wedding. But it's not. It's based on how, you know, they look at how your family raised you. Your background, all those different things will play into it if it's going to be successful. So if my parents did it that way, yes.
I like it.
Again, I still have the choice to say no if I meet the person. Because I know what would happen. My mom would be like, Terrell, I met this beautiful girl. Her family's really nice. Where'd y'all meet? We met at church. Okay, well, red flag. What does she look like? She's in the choir. She's saved. What does she look like?
She's got a great personality.
She has a doctorate. You know, she's like, what does she look like? That would be the issue for me. And so I get to meet her. I'm like, look, you are really nice, but I'm not attracted to you.
You have a great personality. Yeah. You're very well-educated, well-rounded, in more ways than one.
But I know exactly what type of person my mom would pick. And I'm like, nope. You know, but I think the concept... I think it works, but I feel sorry for Theron because I think he's getting involved in this and they got married. I hope it works. Mm-hmm. I don't wish ill will on anybody, but if it doesn't and it goes as bad as what a lot of people on Twitter, a lot of her friends think it will, the worst person that's going to be affected by this is Theron.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, you're rolling the dice big time on somebody who's 24, never left Egypt. What skill does he have? What jobs? At least we know Benny can do a whole bunch of things right out the gate.
He sure can.
What can Muhammad do? Muhammad, could he be a dancer? I don't know what that...
Hey, Mr. Hips, don't lie, man.
Yeah, I don't know what that get jiggy with it was.
Oh, my God. He was on it.
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Do, 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 do. I don't know what this dance is, but he had that down pat.
You know, Jabri and Miona, with those two... heading off to the Joshua Tree. Here's one thing I noticed about this. Miona found the place for them to get married, right? And I just wanted to point that out to you because you said, well, what can Thais do? You know, she doesn't want Patrick to do this and she wants to help, but what can she do? That's, Miona could do it.
Well, Miona and Thais, night and day different. Because Miona has some hustler in her, I think. Thais is just naive. Now, if Thais was like, Patrick, I'm tired of you coming. Just, look, here's the deal. I found some trips. I want to go here. If we take this flight, we can get in. We got plenty of time to go do this and this and this. And then we can go to Florida and get married. What do you think? And then he could be like, oh, crap. Where Miona's like, I'll do whatever the hell it takes to get us out of Dakota. You want me to plan this shit? give me the laptop. We get out of here. Like when they were driving off, she's just in the car, just like remember, like a kid, you tell your kid you're going to McDonald's, they're just excited in the car, just can't wait. That's how she looked as they're leaving South Dakota. She's like, I can't wait to get out of this.
I'm so happy to be out of here.
Yeah, as soon as she crossed the border, stuck her finger out the window. Bye.
Yo, I will say this. I like Reverend Grams. Jabri's grandmother, I think she's got a nice soul, just very peaceful, and you know, like she knows who everyone in the family is and how they are. Like she knows how her daughter is. So she's like, yeah, okay, whatever. She knows how Jabri's, and she's like, yes, he's gonna do this. Some things work, some things don't, but you know, that's just him. And I like her.
I do too. I mean, I said it from the very beginning because I think that I like the fact that she's very open-minded. Mm-hmm. And I think in too many times you have, like, you know, Mahalia is looking at these things through her lens.
Right.
And what she thinks is right or wrong. Where I think Reverend Grams is like, okay, there's a lot of different lenses, but how do you feel? Are you good? Mm-hmm. You're happy? Well, let's go with that. And I think we need more people like that in this world. Stop trying to judge and say everybody should do it the way I think it's right. If you have your family doing something, even if you don't agree with it, let them go. And I think that's what Reverend Grams is doing. She might not have fully agreed with this whole deal, but she's like, look, Jabri's done weird shit his whole life. He's always done some stuff. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, but I'm going to be here and support him. Mm-hmm. Compared to the mom. And I really thought his parents, I still think they're going to show up. I still think they're going to show up to the wedding.
Yeah.
Because this whole, we just can't. I'm like, that's bullshit. Y'all do not work in a chain gang and you have no PTO. Stop it.
It was kind of sad watching Jabri beg his mother to be at his wedding, right? And what's even more ridiculous is the fact that she said, and I just didn't even have a choice in it. What are you talking about?
Yeah. It's whatever.
Speaking of bullshit, that's fully displayed on the show. Emily and Kobe. Oh, my God. Look, Emily's just so selfish that I really want to skip through all their scenes, man. I don't even want to hear her talk. But, you know, for the sake of reviewing the show, I do. And I will say, I like that Kobe's finally calling her out on her bullshit.
Is he, though? Is he really calling her out? No. I'm sorry.
Why?
I'm just saying, he's had his tail stuck up in his tunic for a long time that he has not really called her out on anything. He's just been like, okay.
But he's...
Now, in this episode... Go ahead.
I was saying, but in this one, he's actually like, look, I've done all of this, and you still don't trust me, and you're the one lying to your parents?
But again, that's Emily, right? And I agree with that. That if you look at everything that he's done and sacrificed, and now you have this doubt. Now, to me, the doubt should have been there from the beginning. So do I think they should get married? No, I don't. You know, but for Emily to be like, are you sure this is what you want? I call BS on that. And just Emily's just not all that smart. I order non-alcoholic beers. That way no one will question it. If people know you drink all the time and I see you drinking a non-alcoholic beer, I'm going to be like, hey, you don't want one of these? Why not? Are you sick? You're on some scripts? What's going on? Why can't you have a beer? Right. Well, look, just have one shot with me. It's your wedding day. Let's have one shot. What are you going to do then?
Mm-hmm.
Not get a non-alcoholic shot? Be like, oh, woo!
Just give me some fake water.
Yeah.
You know, and all of it, she still can't accept any of it as her fault at all. And it's still... It's wild to me that as they're going through in all of this, everybody else seems to be accepting him and she's not.
Yeah. Well, I did like how his parents wore the African wardrobe.
Her parents. Yeah.
When everybody. Yeah. Her parents. Well, I thought that was cool. But did you get a little bit of a Get Out vibe? Like, remember in the movie Get Out where everybody was coming to meet? I just got that weird vibe. I'm like, Kobe, watch your back, son.
Run, Kobe, run.
Just grandma come out with a little tea.
Look, Patrick and Thais.
Ugh.
Patrick is so clueless as to how Thais feels and really just doesn't give a shit that it's kind of mind-blowing. Like, this is probably the only time you'll ever hear me say this, but he should probably take some lessons from Jabri. Okay, never mind. I couldn't even say that with a straight face.
What? I'm like, wait, Patrick has a house. He has his own Tesla.
I know, I couldn't say it with a straight face. I was saying, at least to listen, because at least Jabri's listened to Miona. I mean, he didn't for the longest time. But at some point, he kind of caved in. Patrick hasn't caved in on Jack yet.
Yeah, but this is that producer bullshit again. So when they first came on, you had Thais talking about, you know, I'm tired because Patrick took me all these different places. We've been to Massachusetts and here and there. And I was just like, boo-hoo, Emily, all this travel in this yacht. Oh, life's so hard. Patrick's such an asshole. You know, you haven't really traveled much at all. So he's shown you more in these 90 days than you've seen your whole life, right? Based on what we know from the show. So there's that, right? And I just thought that she's a little bit ungrateful.
Ungrateful.
Now, I get it. Patrick is controlling, but he's controlling because Thais is not a Miona. What are you going to do? So if I ask your opinion, hey, we're thinking about going to these four cities in this time frame, what do you think? If she says no, okay, great. What do you want to do different? And she has nothing. She has no other idea. She has no money. What's the plan? So I don't see the big deal in what he's done so far.
You wouldn't. Because you...
Little judgy, sir.
You're
little
the
judgy.
One like, well, how much money did you bring with you?
I mean, you know me. I think a relationship, it's team sport, right? But in a team, people bring stuff to
do me a favor.
Table.
Spell team for me.
What does Thais bring to the table? Hey, I know there's a me in it. That's totally fine.
But it's I-M-E, team.
I don't fully disagree with Patrick. Could he listen more? Sure. But again, what the producers are showing us, I would love to see Thais step up with something. All I hear her do is just complain about everything. But what does she bring to the table? She had one crazy idea. Let's go to this place and get married in Vegas.
And what'd he do? He said no.
Your family, any of your friends. Because he didn't want to get married without any family or friends.
Oh, but it's okay for her to do that. Okay. You see, spoken like a true American.
He didn't know that. Well, but especially she still hadn't told her dad. And so so I'm glad they didn't get married, because once he found out her dad doesn't know, he's like, what are you talking about?
And to his credit, he did want to talk to her dad, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But Thais on the boat talking to Patrick's friend and just spilling all the tea, I'm like, it's a little bit much, you know, to somebody you just met. So, you know, we know, producer bullshit, but at the same time, I thought it was a bit much. But she did say something I thought was very good. Patrick's friend said, if you're going to do it, if you're not going to go through it, just go ahead and break up with him now.
Yes.
And that, I know you would agree with.
I made that note. I took notes in there. I said, Pat, you know, agree with Pat's friend. If you're going to end it, do it now. Mm-hmm. Don't wait till the wedding. Don't get all done up to be able to do it. So I thought that was great. Great advice.
Here's what you won't agree with. When Thais was, you know, she took John out and, see, she planned something. took him out to eat on his dime and then told him that, you know, John Patrick. Needs to move out. Oh, Patrick. No,
she took Patrick out. You said John, but she took Patrick out and was telling him that John needs to move.
That John needs to move out, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact is that I agree with her that that John does need to move out, right? Now, the timeline is funny because what does Patrick say? Well, he can't move out immediately just because we get married. Agreed.
Right.
But then he says he would need at least 3 months.
Okay.
Y'all had 3 months. You've had 3 months. She's been there for 3 months. So were you even working on this at some point? So it should be at this point. Even thinking that, oh, I need to know that it's going to be good for the 90 days. You, again, this communication, this is where they're going to have a lot of problems. You got to communicate. At least say, once we get married, I'll give him a timeline that he's got to move on. Because I agree with her. I didn't get married. to move in with your in-laws.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Here we go with this money again. Go ahead.
We talked about this, and I think Patrick and John, it's not so much he's just being a nice brother. I think financially he needed John. Mm-hmm. And so there's been that deal, because if he could easily move to Dallas without John, John could easily found his own place. Hey, well, I know you're about to get married. Thais is here, so I'm going to find a one-bedroom apartment while you find a house, because you're about to have your wife move in. I think that Patrick can't afford all his stuff without John right now. And that's why that's there. Now, I do agree that Thais needs to be okay with 3 months at minimum, right? Hey, at least give the guy 3 months. But here's what I made a note of. I think that she's doing this to come up with a reason to not marry John without saying, without me and Patrick, without saying, look, I can't marry you because my dad doesn't like you and my dad's opinion means more to me than this relationship. Because that hurts worse. So she's got to come up with this thing to create an argument and make it about John. It has nothing to do with John. It's really her.
Here's why I disagree with you. She's told him from the get-go when she first got there. What do you mean he lives here? No. It's us. I'm here to move. It's you and I. It's not me, you, and him. Yeah. She didn't
but
want
she
a third
knew he
thing.
Lived there from the beginning.
And she said that from the beginning. She's told him from the beginning. So therefore, again, this is all part of Patrick not listening. At no point did he have a conversation with John about moving out. Even here's a conversation that we need to have because of this. And at least have a plan in place. There's absolutely no plan. Now, the plan can be adjusted as you move along. And regardless, if that's the case, Patrick's going to shift that goal line every time. He gets closer. Every month is like, well, we need another month. I'm going to need another month. Because John can't find a place yet. It's not really the case. He needs a security blanket.
Blood's thicker than water.
Sorry.
If my brother was living with me and I'm with the Thais and she's, well, as soon as we get married, you know, your brother moves out immediately. I'm like, no, it's not going to happen. First of all, my brother was here before you. He'll be here after you. So I need you to change that attitude about my brother. If you don't like him, that's great. Keep that to yourself. But no,
agreed.
I can talk about my brother. I can make fun of my brother, but you better not.
a plan in place though. And this is all I'm saying. A plan in place. Because at the end of the day, when you say I do, it's no longer me and you. It's us. That's the part people always seem to forget. It's no longer I stay out as long as I want because I just feel like it. No, that's not how this works anymore.
Right. But also that's family. And you might not like someone else's family, but something comes up where their family needs to stay with you. You can't be like, no. They need to be out immediately. I didn't sign up for this to have your grandmother
live
with us.
My point is, it's been 3 months already.
Yeah.
He has no plan in place.
Yeah. Well, that's on all of them. Don't have a plan in place. Not just Patrick. John doesn't have a plan in place. You know, Thais, what's her plan? I want to know what her plan is for work. What does she plan on doing if she gets a green card and start doing something? Because I'm like, I don't see anything except pretty privilege.
Damn, you sound like a Trump supporter right now.
I just see pretty privilege. I don't see her. Well, like, what do you bring to the table besides cute?
You sound like a Trump supporter right now. Jesus.
What does that have to do with anything?
America.
I think everybody in the world, you work, you bring something to the table, and you do something. You got something you're contributing to the world. Thais just seems like she's just cute. Now, here's a note I made.
Just go ahead and say
anything. Patrick's previous relationship didn't go well due to material things? Because to me, he seems very into the material stuff for Thais, and like that should make her happy. You know, we've traveled here. We've done this. This limo's taking us. We're going on the yacht. Like, those things would make her happy, even though I don't think that's her love language, like she needs all that. But I'm wondering, is he overcompensating because maybe in his last relationship he couldn't provide those things? I don't know. I just thought it was just – I had this thought about that and made a note of it.
Well, and maybe it's just because that's the kind of thing – again, Thais – we have no idea what his first wife looked like, and Thais may be an upgrade. So it may be one of those that he's just like, all right, I got to do what I can. And if I do this, this will work. Because you see that happen in a lot of different places. Doesn't mean it will work for her. And that's the thing that he needs to be on. Right. So,
yeah.
It's really interesting the way they go. But again, communication and John needs to move the hell out. However, Thais's dad, when they called him, yo, he straight, short, sweet, straight to the point. Oh, my bad. Short, sour, and straight to the point.
No. No, you don't have my blessing. In fact, you need to marry someone from your country. She needs to bring her ass home and marry somebody from here. Period. I don't agree with any of this. I loved it. That direct, yeah. That blunt. Just the look on his face when he saw Padre. He's just,
Yo, imagine now if you put Thais's dad and Patrick's mom on the same call. First of all, there'll be a bunch of stuff being said by the Trump supporter that is Patrick's mom and Thais's dad, and then all of a sudden they'll find common ground as they don't need to be together, and then finally they'll be like, "We agree."
I'm sorry. If this MF here had a picture, it'd been Carlos's dad when he saw that they were calling him, and he answered. He's just.
Oh my God. It's going to be interesting to see how he tries to go through with it next week, because apparently we got three weddings next week as we're rounding out this season. Look, you made it. You made it. And we still got the reunion, though, you know, to tell all. So,
as long as it doesn't interfere with my Sunday football, I'm good.
I mean, preseason, and the Saints ain't doing anything anyway, so.
Watch your mouth.
What?
That's what I'm just saying. Just watch your mouth. Let's be nice. Let's play nice.
We got to make a bet for the season. We got to do that. Yeah. We'll wait till after preseason, before the first game of the season. Let's make a bet for the season.
Okay. I'm down.
I'm sure. Hey, don't forget, we're back next week for another 90 Day Fiancé Season 9 recap. Mondays, we drop the audio for our regular episodes. Tuesdays, we drop the video. And on Wednesdays, Married at First Sight Season 15 San Diego. Ugh. We are back on that. And finally through the weddings and on to the honeymoons. So
let's see if we can start fast forward. I wish we were on episode 16 already.
No, you still got a long way to go for that, brother. A couple months to go.
Forward through life with a remote. Just let me get to 16. That's so. Honestly, I wish they would do these reality shows on Netflix, and that way you can binge watch a season, and we could just recap a season. I would enjoy that.
Be careful what you say, because people have been asking for us to do the 90 Day Fiancé Season 12, and that's on Netflix. So, shh, don't say that.
I don't go backwards, only forwards. I don't go backwards, only forwards. So,
in your two-year-old voice, what do you say?
No. I love that comment. My two-year-old voice. No.
I'm trying, folks. I'm trying.
No.
Hey, I'm Yanni Root.
I'm Just Terrell.
Hey, make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.